Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. Today we have a guest. Our guest today is Brandy Nicole Stewart. So Brandy and I met on Facebook in one of those sober groups. So I was excited to hear that Brandy wrote that she is expressed her gratitude for being a recovery addict for over 2 years and 10 months now. So I'm very proud of you, and anyone's success makes me so happy. So I'm glad that you overcame those that happened in the past for you. So welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. Yeah. So tell us about who you are and what brings you joy.
Okay. So I'm 37 years old. I'm a wife. I'm a mother of two. Being in recovery, the joy that I get today is totally different than what the joy that I had 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, March. What brings me joy is seeing my children smile and actually be happy and be able to be with me sober.
Mm, nice. And so prior to that, they were not able to see that. Is that correct?
I started using when my daughter was born, basically. Mm-hmm. And she's 15. So for the past 3 years almost, she's got to see me sober and clean. So, but before that, it was just in my active addiction, my children was taken away from me, and drugs was involved. And, you know, even though I got my children taken away from me, it didn't matter. You know, the drug addiction had me, and it took me 7 years to finally be able to get my children back. Mm-hmm. So
I'm glad that you noticed a different kind of responses of emotion you had, like the joy you have now and the joy you had before. And obviously your joy you have now, I feel like, is more pure, because the one you have was based on something that was maybe superficial, that was destroying your life. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So the difference in joy today of what I have, when I was in active addiction, literally the joy of getting the drugs, or knowing that I was going to get the drugs, or, you know, the feeling that I knew that was coming with the drugs. That was the only joy in my life at the time. Mm-hmm. I really didn't have anything to live for that I thought. And today, the joy that I have today is literally, okay, for an instance, today I was able to go to Walmart, which I hate, and because I have social anxiety really bad, and was able to go shopping for, you know, just household stuff that I needed. And, you know, it might sound crazy to a lot of people, but when you come from nothing and you don't have anything, to be able to just go to the grocery store and buy what you need or a little bit of extra, that brings joy in somebody's life. Mm, it's just, yeah. Sometimes it's the small things, and sometimes it's the big things. the joy I have today is watching my children grow up, watching them see their mom mature with them, you know, as I'm getting older and, you know, more into recovery, and just knowing that I can go to sleep at night and not have drugs and be able to wake up in the morning and not have drugs.
Nice. Wow. I'm so happy for you that you're there. Definitely. I'm just going to use my computer camera. It looks bad, but that's fine. All right. So what was I going to ask? Oh, yeah. So tell us about your shame, guilt, and fear. And how have you transcended these emotions or got rid of them? Or how are you working on coping with shame, fear, and guilt that you had in the past?
So a lot of it has to do with, I work my steps. I'm in a program where I work steps. I work on myself. And by completing the steps that I have has helped me tremendously. I'm really not a religious person, but when I got clean, I had to find a power that was greater than me. And I did. And now I know that I can go to him for anything. When I have shame, guilt, or fear, I go to him. And because it's not my will, it is his. And I just have to live today. And it sometimes it's really rough. But I deal with it by communicating with others that that are like me, you know, recovering addicts or my sponsor. I ask them how to get through it. And I get a lot of feedback, positive feedback on the things that I'm going through to get through it, you know, because in active addiction, you know, we have so much shame and guilt and fear that we don't want to get clean, that we're afraid. And, you know, by building the bridge, the bridges that I burnt, and sometimes I had to build them stick by stick, but the relationships that I have today is because I put in the effort to repair them bridges and learned how to be a trustworthy person. I had to change. I got told in early recovery, I don't have to change anything. I have to change everything.
That's, you know, I feel that, and you probably feel the same. You can tell me how you feel. I feel like that's wonderful, and it's is meant to happen because now you're doing something on purpose. You're doing it with mindfulness. And I feel when I started doing things on purpose and on mindfulness, many things were happening great in my life because I had to really think about it. Then you do it. As for before, you just do things and then you might hurt yourself and hurt others and you don't know what you did or you're just not aware and everything. But now you are living on purpose. Would that be so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because the decisions and the, you know, anything that I do, I think of other people and if I'm going to hurt myself, you know. I always have to think about myself. And, you know, a lot of people might think that's selfish, but in recovery, you have to think about yourself.
So. Oh, certainly. Well, you know, if you ever fly, they say, put the mask on on yourself first before your child. Because as a mother or a parent, you want to do your child. But if you're trying to do your child and then you die, then you didn't do it correctly and your child don't know, then both people die. So it's like, if you do it first, quickly, because you're an adult, and so as human being or any being, I don't know if you ever know Ayn Rand. She wrote many books, and one of her book is called The Virtue of Selfishness, and how the word selfish became a dirty word, but it's not a dirty word. Selfish, any being is selfish because selfish is about survival, and you want to survive. But I guess because of nowadays, because
now we can eat, and well, some of us can eat and live like an okay life, we take that selfishness into greed. We take it further. Like,
yes.
I'm fine, I'm full, and I have a roof over my head, and you're trying to take someone else's roof over their head and do all this other stuff. Like, someone can call it that selfish, but that's more like greed. But selfish would be like, I need to, basically selfish is like self-preservation, but it does not mean you're going to step on somebody else. And I had to actually read the book and also look definition and study about it, because words have more meaning than what it is currently, because a lot of things of words have changed. Like things, words that we know now that become like so dirty and people are afraid of them, or they change, are totally, they not have the same origination that they had. Another example of coincidence. Coincidence for us, it means like, oh, you're so surprised it happened and you're so lucked out. But it's not your coincidence. We coincide. It's supposed to happen. It's fate. It will happen. It's, yeah. So it's like all these words have changed. What was your childhood like?
So my parents were addicts and alcoholics. They dropped me and my two brothers off at my grandma, my grandparents' doorstep when I was 4 years old. So I was raised by my grandparents. My grandfather died when I was really young, so I didn't really have a father figure at all. And so I'm originally from Ohio, but we came down here to Tennessee. And I was sexually molested for a lot of years of my life. And I just became rebellious when I became a teenager. And I did everything and anything to get away from the house that I was living in. And it started me down a wrong path. And I just started drinking a lot. And the day before I turned 18, I moved out of the house. And I never came back. So.
Wow. And so 18 on, you were an addict?
So I had two children at that time, in between the times, and, I got clean and sober, when I was pregnant with them. And then, I would soon after relapse, which I didn't consider relapse because I really wasn't working a program. I wasn't, you know, trying to do anything to better my life.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I got married, and it was a terrible marriage, and we had a child together, and he had never used drugs, but we got on drugs together, and then we lost our children. So I was probably 27. You know, I had used all throughout that time, off and on. But I always traded one drug for the other. Like if I didn't do one drug, I'd be like, oh, well, that's not a problem. I could do this. But the one thing that I really religiously did, was drink. I just moved from state to state for a while. And, me and my husband went through a divorce and, you know, we lost our children. And, you know, from then on, after I lost my kids, I didn't really care about anything. You know, I had lost part of who I was, you know, because I can't say that, you know, I looked back on it and I can't say that I lost everything that I worked for because I didn't really work for it like I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know. If I had worked on it, I would have never lost my children. After that, you know, I just went into relationship after relationship and, just went really, really, really downhill. And, finally, December of 2018, the Christmas, it was right after Christmas. I decided that, because I thought I was going to die. I got pneumonia. I got really, really sick. And I decided right then that I had to do something because I was going to die if I didn't. And from there, me and my husband, my new husband, we've been married 5 years. We got on a plane and went all the way to Washington State. And we got accepted into sober living houses. It's called Oxford. And from there, I mean, I literally walked off the plane with probably $100 in my pocket. Had no idea who anybody was, didn't know how I was going to get to the house that I needed to go to. And I knew right then that it was all or nothing. I couldn't stop. I mean, I was 2,200 miles from home. There was nobody to save me now. So it was really up to me. And I'm telling you, from day one, I put all the effort I could into recovery. I'm not lying. Like by my 90 day mark, I already had like over 200 meetings. I mean, I went to meetings religiously. I got a sponsor. Everything that any advice that I got, I took. And from then on, it was like, wow, you know, I'll never forget. My first sponsor told me, she said, this life that you're getting ready to live, she said, it's the most unimaginable life that you can ever live. And she made me write this letter to myself on my 18th month birthday, my clean birthday, and to open it up when I my 18th birthday. And I did. And it was unimaginable of the stuff that I wrote down when I was only like 23 days clean compared to the life that I had at that time. Man, I'm telling you, it's so worth it. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unexplainable how, you know, much, how your life is so different of how you can actually be happy and how you can actually be sad and, you know, angry and feel all these emotions and not have to use, yes. You know? So.
I've spoken to so many people, and one thing that always comes to my mind is, wouldn't it be so nice, at least by 7th or 8th grade, everything that you learned now that makes your life so great now, if we learn those things throughout high school? And if anyone would use, I would feel like it would be like a choice instead of either trauma or they had to, or depression or things didn't work out and all this stuff. If we have the tools that you have now, it's like, it's interesting how when people go rock bottom, that's when society says, okay, let's help them. But if you help people while they're fine, and then they wouldn't have to go rock bottom or experience. And of course, having experiencing things is part of your growth, is part of your life. And when you experience things, you learn and then you have a different kind of strength. Definitely, we all need that. However, I feel like there are certain things people don't really need to experience to actually learn certain things, you know? And yeah. And it already happened. It is great. And I'm sure, like you, as you mentioned, as you're talking, I can feel your energy and your aura is glowing. And I feel your happiness, and your past makes you who you are now. And you can look back and you can see your progress. Because as human beings, when we can look back and see our progress, it helps us, it validates us for ourselves, because human validation is nice, but the ones that we need the most is a higher power and yourself. That's the one that definitely matters. And then you put up the work now, as you mentioned, like rebuilding relationship with people is one of the hardest thing I feel, because when trust is broken, it's, you need to do the work to gain it back.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you're using drugs and alcohol, like before you hit rock bottom, like what was your mindset? What was your mindset?
You know, as I think back of how my mindset it was, it's I was completely numb. Like I didn't care about anything or anybody. At that point, you know, I didn't even care about myself. And it's sad because, you know, people loved me enough. You know, I don't know. It's crazy. Because I don't know. I actually, like, I've really never thought about that. The question you just asked, because I've never wanted to think about that mindset again. But you know, because I do care today,
right?
And that was, I think that was the worst thing that I could possibly say, was my mindset was, is I didn't care at all.
Right. I totally understand. Because I've noticed as you grow older, I've noticed that before 26 years old, I was totally a different person. Of course, we change and grow, but I feel like I was more, I didn't have an independent mind, and I wasn't mindful, and I didn't have self-awareness. I was more of a robot, just doing things and going along with everybody and everything. And for some reason, I actually spoken to somebody who talks about, he does studies about the brain and how we grow. And when he mentioned, he says, it's actually 25 and 26. And I was like, wow, that's interesting, because I felt when I turned 26, something clicked in my brain of self-awareness, and how he's actually advocating in the court system and society to give people lesser charges, because before 25, you're still a teenager, really. You're not really there. So a lot of stuff that you do, you just need guidance. And I've spoken to some people even on IG, how they're confining me and they tell me about things that they do. And then they're so elated that I'm not judging them. I just ask questions. I'm just hearing their story. And I basically ask questions. I'm just an observer. And how they're afraid to talk to their parents or a friend because they're afraid that they will be judged, or they're afraid that they'll be discarded. While we all need, basically, we need love. We need someone to hug us. We need someone to say, oh, you don't know how to do this. Let me show you the way. Let me help you out and ask you questions, etc. And it would be nice if all of that started prior to having issues.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yes.
It's
times that I think about a lot of my issues of why I use drugs was, you know, abandonment issues and trauma and, you know, things like that. And I don't want that to define me, you know. I want to be able to help people get through what I got through without doing drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what are you currently doing now that you find all this juicy excitements of life? What are you doing with those tools now?
So I am part of the drug coalition in my county, and I'm a recovery peer specialist. Mm-hmm. So I talk to teenagers, you know, that are struggling in, you know, foster care, because we have a lot of that here, and their parents are drug addicts. And, you know, I help children get through the, you know, teenagers to get through that, you know, without having to turn to drugs or alcohol.
Yes. It's a new world for me. I was speaking to people that they started drinking or even doing meth at the age of 8. And yeah.
How do you even know how to do those kind of drugs when you're that young, you know?
And well, they got them from their peers, like an older crowd, like, but in high school and such. And it shows me how I've been living basically under a rock, because I was shocked. I was like, oh, wow. Like I'm thinking, oh, you need to be 21 to buy something at a store. I'm thinking because you can get cigarettes at a store, you can get those things at a store. Until I learned that's not how it works. Yeah. And yeah, so I feel that the school system definitely has the responsibility there. Like, so in your peer specialist, like, and it's great that you're working with the youth. However, like, do you have any ideas of how you can reach out to the youth before they actually take on the drug problem?
See, we have, okay, so in our community, we do not have a lot of resources for, prevention. Prevention. And we barely have, things for people that are in recovery. You know, I have to drive 45 minutes to a meeting. That's how far I am. And, so basically, they have a DARE program, but I'm not in that yet. I actually work at the local school that, my son attends here in the town I live in. So, you know, seeing some of these children, I not only have been one of these children, but I'm seeing it with my own eyes, and mm-hmm. saddens me because, I can give you a little example. A little girl comes in the bathroom and says, my mom has that same shirt. And I said, well, that's nice. She's like, well, I get to see her tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, you get to see her? And she's like, yeah, I'm a foster kid. And she's like, and my sister and brother are foster kids. And my mom was on drugs. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I was just standing there in the bathroom and I just started crying because that right there could have been one of my children telling some adult, you know, about me. And it just broke my heart because there's such a drug epidemic in my community and surrounding communities. When I came back to Tennessee, I had to move an hour away from where I was raised at because I knew I could never go back there if I wanted to stay clean. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, I just feel sorry for the children that, you know, their parents are addicts because there's not a lot of hope here. There's not.
Wow. That's really sad.
Very sad.
Well, I'm very glad that you got out of that over 3 years ago and doing so much better. Definitely. So can you tell us somewhat in details, like what have you had to work for in order to gain relationship with old friends or family, or even to gain your access to your children back?
So I didn't build any relationships with any friends when I came back because from the time I was really young, I lived in the same 3-mile radius of where we lived. We lived in a gated community, so everybody knew everybody. So I couldn't be friends with anybody. But building relationship with my grandmother. So it took us almost a year when we got back from Washington to even try to get custody of our son. I had to earn my grandmother's trust back with my son. I had to be reliable. I had to show her when I told her that I was going to do something that I did it. Building relationships with my children again. I had to be consistent. I had to show them everything that I ever said I did. I had to change like so much about me, and today I'm a punctual person. Okay. And I like to tell people, okay, I'm going to be here at this time. And I would have to tell my children, look, I'm going to be here at this time. And I would do that. I've showed them that I'm consistent in, you know, when we first got back, I was consistent in calling them, you know, FaceTiming them, anything that I could do to show them that, hey, look, you don't ever have to worry about, you know, mom, you know, loaded again. So, I had to build a relationship back with my husband. We had to build everything. We had to communicate. We had to work on everything. Communication, trust, support, anything and everything. We had to basically start all over because we was never clean in our relationship before we our clean date. Basically, we didn't even know how to be in a relationship. So we had to work on building all of that again. That's the only people that I've really built relationships with back. Now, the people that are, you know, my recovery friends, I really didn't have to build anything with them. I just, you know, was there for them when they needed to call, you know, when they needed somebody to talk to. I've had sponsees that I've had to build relationships with, you know, and guide them in the right direction. But other than that.
Yeah. What is the importance? Because when I was learning about recovery, I did not, now I understand it, but anyone who wore my shoes, I did not understand the importance of having a sponsor. Because when I would talk to people, they're talking about sponsor, and I had to go with my sponsor, and oh, it's 7, I have to meet my sponsor and all this stuff. So can you tell someone the importance of having a sponsor and the importance of being a peer support specialist?
Okay, so the importance of having a sponsor is the steps that you are working on. They guide you and to show you a better way of life. They guide you through hard times. They give you advice when you really don't want to hear it. They give you the really cold, hard truth of what you don't want to hear. And, you know, we all need that sometimes, even when we don't like it. Yeah. And trust me, you know, a sponsee and a sponsor's relationship is the most, I don't know, special relationship that you can have with somebody because you're sharing the most intimate details that you've ever wrote down in your life.
I hear. Yeah.
So that's how important a sponsee is. If I didn't have a sponsor, I would have never got through the death of my mother clean. And I got through it clean because I had a sponsor that got me through it.
Wow.
With the working with the youth, the most important thing is I feel when I see young adults, I basically see myself, broken down, abandoned, you know, feel like sometimes you won't add up to nothing. And, you know, I feel like that we should build them up more and show them that they are better than their parents or, you know, anybody that they think that has wronged them or anything like that. And that's what I do. I just look at them and know that they've been hurt in some kind of way that, you know, they have their own special feeling of being hurt and, you know, guiding them towards maybe getting past it and talking. Because therapy is really good. I've realized.
You're in therapy? And,
yes, I've been in therapy for a long time. Mm-hmm. My team are in therapy. I just really think it's awesome, but it's very, if you don't have insurance, it's so hard, you know, to get the mental health, that you, you know, help that you need, yeah. Anything. So
as if they don't want us to get better at all, it seems like.
Exactly.
Right.
And to this day, I'm in therapy, and I would tell you 5 years ago, I thought that I would never, ever be without medication. And I'm not talking narcotics. I'm talking, you know, bipolar, personality, all, you know, all kinds of different kinds of medication. And I can say that I'm on none of them now because I, you know, I've dealt with my past. I've come to accept my past and I've put it behind me. I cannot go backwards. I can only go forward from today.
Great. Well, you know, I'm very excited. And if you are willing, whenever you feel like you're ready, or maybe even a year, like when you're done with your peer specialist, I would love to have you back to tell me your progress and timeline, because like, you know how you're feeling, but watching you, you're glowing. And you're in a great space in your life right now. And I'm very proud of you. And I'm very excited for that. It's, yeah. Wow. And you're giving back and you're helping other people so they don't have to go and do the drugs. Or if they were there already, you're helping them. You're seeing them and you're validating them that they can do better. Wow. That's great. So why is it important for you to tell your story today?
Because I know that with everything that I've ever been through and the things that I've went through and done and seen, and I know that people can get past the things, the guilt, the shame, and the fear of one day becoming who they always wanted to be, and to be able to help just one person, I think that I've done something great.
Yes, most certainly. And you were explaining about working with the youth. I've noticed that as speaking to some people, some of them who wants to get on the podcast and some who wants to talk, they don't want to get on podcasts yet, but they still want to talk to me to DM. And they're telling me their story and everything. And I just, as I mentioned, I like to be an observer, non-biased, just ask questions and understand and talk, etc. And they would say like, wow, I really appreciate how you just there to talk to me instead of like giving the advice or tell me you're doing something wrong, because they would ask questions like, I did this. Is it wrong? Was it bad of me to say this or do this, et cetera? And I'm like, and I revert back to a question like, how do you feel about it? What do you think about it? And so I like that process is so much. And then they feel seen and validated as a human being.
Right. Absolutely.
So how are you? So you told me in a way, but in the lastly, how are you currently living your best life?
Well, I just celebrated getting my daughter back. I mean, like literally, she came back here on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow. So, what a present.
Yeah. Yes. And it was unfortunate because my mother passed away last year on Christmas Eve. So
it was a
sad day, but the most happiest day, because literally 8 years I've been without my daughter. So, and so now, we I'm a full-time mother to two, one preteen and one teenage girl. So, but living my best life. So, we just mortgaged our first house. We got a razor for Christmas. So we are very avid riders. So we love to go to the mountains and just ride. I mean, it's the most relaxing thing that you could ever do is just go and ride. Just enjoying this new life of freedom that I've never had, you know, it's Me and my son, we live on a state park. So me and my son go hiking all the time. You know, when we're able to go and do stuff with our children and be clean doing it.
Uh-huh.
So that's really what brings, you know, that's how I'm living my best life right now, is showing up, doing the work, and making sure that my mental health is good, so I can be good for others.
And you have the support that you need. You have the right entourage.
Yes.
Yeah,
I have so much. I never knew that you could have so much support until I was like, dude, why did I ever have pride? Why did I think that I was too good to ask for help?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell my daughter this all the time. It is okay to ask for help.
Yes. So, especially strangers, I've noticed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Today, I don't care who you are. I'm going to ask for help if I need help.
Right. And the thing is, I do not see people as strangers. No. I was, all my life, I've been making fun of. I can smile at people. I say hello to people that I cross. I'm in New York City. We are, how intimate can it be? You on a train and someone's like this. Their face is literally like that. So why can I not say hello, good morning? I mean, I'm feeling your heartbeat on my shoulder for 40 minutes ride, and I cannot be friendly to you. Like, it's weird how people are so afraid of connection and all this stuff. And so I stopped for like maybe 2 years because I get making fun of and called names. And I was just like, you know what? I stopped because of other people's reaction. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to say hi and hello. If I don't say it verbally, I'm going to say it with my eyes. Whenever I cross path with somebody, I nod like a respect thing. And to, you know, because I've noticed, I've seen online people, if there's a fire, they want you, someone would want you to get in their house, in their bedroom to save them. But if you're walking down the street, don't you dare look at me, because it's weird. I just don't understand that mindset. But it's good, though, how I've noticed when there's a crisis, people forget the weirdness of strangers and they have the humanity. At least we still have that. And that's great.
Humanity is a big part of step 7. And I mean, that's the main focus of step 7. So, and it's basically, you have to work on it every single day. You don't get a day off. Rent's due every single day.
Yes. Yes, certainly. We need to remember that. I'm grateful for any situation and any persons in my life, even if they do something. I don't see people doing things against me at all. Anything that happens to I actually think when customers do things, and then people know when they're being nasty, and I say thank you and I'm grateful for it. Sometimes they come back. I actually wrote a song in my channel. I say, people throw stones and come back to ask for forgiveness, because customers have done that. They come back crying, and sometimes I forget what happened. And sometimes I act like I've forgotten because I don't want to like put salt on wound, because I treat them the way a being needed to be treated. I say thank you, and I'm like, oh, have a great day. And I do it from my heart as well. I don't do it because I'm getting paid. I do it from my heart because I respect another being. And then they cannot live with themselves so much that they come back and be like, you know, what I said to you or how I said it was wrong, and please forgive me and everything. And it makes me happy that I can treat someone else that great, and hopefully they can get inspired to treat an employee better.
Right.
In a sense. So actually, I never ask anyone this question, but someone I was talking to asked me this question. He says, how does it feel like to wake up as a new person? And he was asking me that, and I was like, wow, that's a great question. So you're the first guest that I'll ask that to. How did it feel like when all the dark clouds and all the turmoil, and you woke up one day, because you probably remember that day, you celebrated, you felt like a new person, you felt literally clean. Like, how did it feel like?
Let's see. Let me figure out the word. I would say astounding, because I never thought in any world, like after any world, that I would be able to wake up clean ever. So it was like, it was okay. So you won't, so you're not a recovering addict. Is that right?
I'm not. Yes, correct.
Okay, so you won't understand this, but let me give you a little example. So the euphoria that you feel when you are getting loaded or you're about to do it or anything that involves the drugs, it's just like that, of waking up and feeling that euphoria of a new life.
And as you mentioned it, I'm going to try to imagine that, definitely. But I think I can understand the answer, because people have called me an empath. And the minute that we get on the phone, I can feel, as I kept mentioning, I can see it and I can feel it. And so this is definitely going to be part of my questions, because for me, I'm not a recovery addict. However, when I woke up as a new person in 2015, because I wasn't so nice. So I can see the contracts and different. 2015 Absolutely. Is when I saw it. There's a calendar. I love calendars. I have calendars since I was 20 that I kept, like, not diary, but like what I do for the day and all this stuff. So I kept them since. And there's a calendar, it called Dharma Days. And every day, it's like a day book calendar. Every day has something to work on or a quote. And every month there is a thing. I still have it. It's amazing. And then I did it for a whole year. And I was just like, I just did it. And then, of course, yeah.
Huh? It does. It takes some diligence to do something every single day.
Yeah. And what made me do it more as well is, I was in a dark time where I couldn't see how I was not so nice. And as I mentioned earlier in the beginning, and you prompted, you're living on purpose. You are being mindful. And prior to that, I was not being mindful. I was not living on purpose. And as I was reading it, and I'm glad that I had the open mind to actually read it. And then I can, once, like Maya Angelou says, once you know better, you do better. Once I read something and I know I should do better, I couldn't go back. I had just had to keep moving forward. And then I had to change my attitude. And I feel like as every day go by, I'm such a much better person. And as my guru, Dr. Wayne Dyer, says, an orange cannot give apple juice. So what you squeeze out of yourself to someone else is who you are. So now I treat people with compassion, with love and empathy and respect. I don't believe, like for me personally, I don't believe that respect needs to be earned. I give you respect regardless, because I do understand that hurt people. And with empathy, I can understand that. So therefore I don't take it personally. So yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your story today with everyone. And I'm sure it will inspire it. You have inspired me, certainly. Oh. And I'm sure your story will inspire so many others. So I realized that I'm going to send people who are on the podcast, like the editing version. And then if you ever have your own platform, because a lot of people that I've spoken to, they just have TikTok or or live something, and then it's good for them because then they can have an interview. And especially when you being a peer support specialist, who knows like what life has for you? You might be an inspirational speaker. You might go on tour to talk about your life, because many people have done that. And I didn't know I would have a podcast up until September when I decided to have one. It's like, I never thought about that. So you never know what will happen.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you as well. Thank you. And you're welcome. And when they say no man is an island, like I could not do this without you and many others. And I'm so grateful how people, and I've always had, you know, when they say faith in humanity, I never lost faith in humanity, first of all, but you know, like faith in humanity where you can speak to a complete stranger and as if we knew each other, because that's how I talk to people. I don't doubt and fear and be like, could I talk to that person? And what will they say? I message people as if they're my cousin. You're my cousin. That's how I feel.
I do. My kids are so embarrassed because I can just go up to anybody and talk to them. And they're like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm not conceited. I'm just confident.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. Well, prior to the pandemic, I have a friend who visited me from Florida. And we're walking down the street and the whole time before talking to me. And it's like, why are you very popular? You know it. You know this person, you know her, you know him. Like, and I'm like, no, I just met them.
But they act like they've known you forever. Yes, I'm the same way.
And then he's like, wow, how'd you do it? And I was like, well, I don't know. I feel like sometimes people are born with certain traits. It's not something that I had to go to school for. I'm grateful for it. And if you go to school for it, that's fine too, but it is what it is. So now I'm actually, prior, I was like just being normal, but now I'm living on purpose. Now I feel like if God gave me that gift to just talk to anybody, like they're my brother and sister or cousin, why should I not use it? So yeah, so we're here.
Good. So that's amazing. You know, because I said, you're using it for good, right. For the good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, you know, that you have people like me that come on here that could actually help other people. So, you know, we are grateful for you too. So
same. Thank you.
So I did want to add that I feel that when you was talking about the guilt, shame, and fear, it clicked in my head that fear is only from a lack of faith.
Mm. Yes. Yes, certainly.
So that's what I wanted to share. And thank you for letting me share my story.
Yes. Thank you for being here, and you're welcome. And I'll keep you posted, definitely.
Awesome. Okay. Yes,
thank you again, and have a good one.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.